on today's Tech Help for Churches, web apps versus responsive websites. Hi, everyone, and welcome again to another episode of Tech Help for Churches. My name is Paul Allen Clifford, and I'll be your host today. And I just want you to join the conversation, so head on over to trinitydigitalmedia.com/contact. And there you can leave a message, leave some feedback, say, hey, I love the show. Hey, can you do something else different? Or what have you. You can also find my contact information for other stuff. So head over there and check that out. I would really, really appreciate it if you did. Before we get going, I just real quick want to talk about my streaming provider, churchstreaming.tv. Churchstreaming.tv provides all the streaming for the churchtechcast.com network, and I could not be more pleased with them. I think every time I've had an idea that I've thought, why couldn't this be the case? I've just sent them an email, and they're either already working on it, have thought about it and haven't started it yet, or thought it was a great idea and started it very, very soon thereafter. You just don't get that with most companies that you deal with, and everyone I've dealt with at churchstreaming.tv has been so pleasant to deal with and so friendly and so knowledgeable. I just, quite frankly, I can't think of any way that they could be much better. Additionally, their pricing model is a flat rate pricing model, so you're not going to get a surprise at the end of the month. And one thing that I found out in clarifying, because the way they do it is by attendance, one thing that I found out is it's not that they're constantly watching to try and figure out if you have gone from one level to the other. No, it's kind of the honor system. So if you've got 1,000 in attendance on a weekly basis at your church, it's $99 a month, and after that up to I think it's 4,000 in attendance, it's $199 a month. And after that, they want you to call them and talk about pricing, because, you know, Lakewood Church is going to have totally different needs than my church, which has 5,000. So they don't like scour your feed and try and discern if you've gone over that. It's on the honor system, so it's not the case that if you have one really, really big Sunday, they're going to ding you. In fact, they kind of expect that there are going to be some Sundays that are bigger than others. Here in Kentucky, we've just had a week of snow days. I'm very happy to report that my children are in school today. Not that I didn't like them home with me, but it just changed the way that I did things. Well, imagine that you have a crazy snow day at your church. Now, it could be that you don't have those because you're in South Florida. Well, what if it's hurricane season or something like that where people just don't show up, but they do tune in online? You're not going to get hit with a surprise bill at the end of the month. That's just not going to happen. So that's why I recommend churchstreaming.tv. Also, if you could head on over to my latest website, my latest venture, creatingchurch.com. Now, Creating Church has a dot after the first T, so it's creat.ingchurch.com. Head over there if you're interested in taking the creativity of your church to the next level. I've created this site specifically for that reason, and I just want to help as many churches as possible, but I also want to keep it manageable. So for this first go around, at least, I'm limiting it to between 15 and 100 signups. So head over there right now. Get in on the ground floor. The next time I do it, the pricing might be totally different. It could be that I figure out that I can handle more people. Who knows? But I know that right now, for this first go-around, that's what I have planned, and I think that you'll find that you get just some great ideas from someone who's done this since the turn of the century. I've been doing creativity and media in the church since 2000, and I'm part of a church that in that time grew from just a couple hundred to over 5,000. So that's pretty incredible, and I think that one of the things that we can thank is our use of creativity, media, etc. So head over and I'll share what I've learned in those past 15 years or so, 14, 15 years. Okay, let's get started talking about apps versus responsive web sites. Now, if someone asked me that question, I would say yes, both. That's ideally what you would want. You would ideally want both an app for all the major platforms, and as well, you would want a responsive website. But I realize a lot of churches have limited budgets, and they're probably thinking, huh, I can afford to do one. How can I do one? And which one should I do? So let's talk just a bit about responsive web apps versus, or responsive websites versus apps. So on the pro side of doing an app, think of the limited visibility you're going to get on the web. There are billions of websites, and I don't think I'm exaggerating when I say that, billions of websites. And even when you do good SEO so that people find you based on what they're searching for, you're still in a pretty large sea of possible websites that they can go to. And if you're not on the front page, for most people, you don't exist. So if you're the 11th website in Google, for most people, you might as well be the millionth. You just don't exist. So you have greater visibility in the Google Play Store, in the iTunes, in the Apple iOS App Store, than you would on the web, because there's just a much smaller amount of apps than there are websites. So that's a positive. You're easier to find. Secondly, people are going to assume that a church that has a web app is a little bit more with it than one that doesn't. Now, that may be a good thing, it may be a bad thing, but I want you to think, am I trying to reach younger people? If I am, having a web app might help me do just that. Or not a web app, I keep saying this back and forth. Having a smartphone app might help you do just that. Smartphone apps, and I'm throwing in tablet apps as well, by the way, even though they can be different, also have greater abilities than the web does. So they can reach down into the guts of your smartphone and access things that the website may or may not be able to, depending on the platform. So you could do things like have your app say, oh, you are here. Here are directions from your house without you having to type in your address. Here are directions from your house to our church. So if someone downloads the app and they're in the local community, or maybe they're just visiting on vacation, they could automatically get directions. You could have games where just something for the kids, where as part of the experience, they can access the accelerometer and play games. You could do all sorts of things, and I'm blanking on some other stuff that I've seen done, but you do have a little more flexibility with a smartphone app in that you have better access to the hardware. So the next thing you might be thinking is, well, if that's the case, why wouldn't I go with a smartphone app? Well, let's talk a couple of downsides. First off, there's updates. So let's say that you create your app, it gets approved, it's in the App Store, there's no problem there until you realize you've made a mistake and you put the church's old address, or you mistyped the name of the pastor, or you left out something completely that someone says, hey, wouldn't it be nice if blah, 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 and you think, oh, that's totally simple. I could do that in like an hour. I'm going to do that. And you do it, and then you have to submit it to the App Store and wait for them to approve it. Now, less so on the Google Play Store than the Apple Store, but you could see how this could be a bit of a problem. So that is an issue, that you have to go through a third party to get it approved. Something else is differences in the platforms themselves. So a Windows Phone app and a Google Play Android app and an iOS app, just on their surface, look totally different. Or they should look totally different. If they don't, you've made a mistake, probably. You want them to look like they belong on the phone. Secondly, each of them has different abilities. They have access to different things. For example, when Siri came out, I had an iPhone 3GS, and I really wanted Siri. But I didn't want to pay to do an upgrade at that time. I just recently did my upgrade. And so I went out and I started looking for kind of copycat apps. And there were plenty of them. I wrote a whole thing on Church Mag about them. And what I was seeing is that while I could ask Siri to read the last text message that I got, I could not ask any of the other apps to read the last text message that I got because of how Apple had limited the ability of the apps. Now, you might say, well, that's just Apple. But it's certainly the case that you're going to get different results in different apps on different platforms. So it's not only a design thing, it's also a capability thing, that you might have a really great idea for a web app that works perfectly fine in Windows Phone. Windows Phone, they're not as popular, but one thing that they have are what are called live tiles, and the icon itself can display information. You can't really do that on Android or iOS. So if that's the case, just that one feature won't translate. So that's another problem. Finally, let's talk about App Store approvals. It's a little opaque what iOS requires for approval. And it's a little opaque what will cause them to disapprove your app. So it could absolutely be the case that you have your app up in the Windows App Store, the BlackBerry App Store, the Google Play App Store, and it's pending in the iOS App Store, and then it's rejected. And then it's pending, and then it's rejected, and you go through this process several times. Likewise, I don't know that they've changed this, but for a while it was the case that it was difficult to be approved by Microsoft to make a Windows Phone app. So it could be the case that, hey, well, the pastor has the Windows Phone, and so he thinks that one's really important, even though percentage-wise it's pretty low, and you just have all kinds of trouble getting approved even as a developer. Another thing is, it's not the case that you can be a developer for free like you can on the web. If you know HTML, if you know CSS, JavaScript, write all the websites you want. There's no one that says, no, you're not allowed to. Now, with that said, it's not that it's impossible to be a developer for these other platforms. It's just that some are free, some cost some money, some cost a lot of money. So it could be that as part of your budget, you have to include, while you have programmers at your church that can do it, they're not approved, so you have to include, okay, here's a yearly fee so that you can be a part of the iOS ecosystem, here's a fee so that you can be a part of the Windows Phone ecosystem, etc. So those are kind of some positives and negatives of each. So what would I do if I were you? I think a website is a non-negotiable. Think back to the 1980s. Would you have said that an ad in the Yellow Pages was a non-negotiable for your church? Probably. It was where people went to find churches, where people went to find plumbers too, but in this case, where people went to find plumbers, churches. It is a non-negotiable back in the 1980s. Well, today, having a website is a non-negotiable. I'm 40 years old, and people my age and younger, so people born in 1974, 1973, on to people born in the last 18 years or so, all look on the web first to try and find things. And we also try and get a feel for the church. So if you go to a church and it feels like, oh, this was designed in 1996, pass. I'm sorry if that's harsh. If it's just kind of the way that it is. If it feels like the website was, if you look at the calendar and it was updated 2 years ago, but not since, pass. If you see pictures of people that are all beautiful and perfect, for a lot of people, that's a pass. If you find no talk about the children's program, maybe it's a pass. So, a website really is a non-negotiable, and doing it well is really important. As part of that, I think I would have a responsive website. If you have a mobile website, it's okay. We talked about that last week. It's okay. It would be better to have a responsive version of your main site, though. So, now, assuming that you don't have a responsive or mobile site, and you don't have an app, I think I would go with the website, because it is possible on most platforms to navigate to the website and save it as if it was an app, and that can get you through until you can save up money and get an actual app. Now, it could be that you can't think of anything in the world that you could do in your app that you can't do on the web. If that's the case, you could have just a very simple app where basically it is a wrapper that wraps up a web browser with your website in it. So you can do that very inexpensively. But it may or may not be something that you want to actually invest in because that's all you have in mind. So I suggest that you do this. I suggest that you go and you look at other churches' apps. Look at them on different platforms and get some ideas. So my church has one just in the Google Play Store or in the iOS Store. I think those are the only two we have because it hits like 90-some-odd% of the people. What I want you to do is search for Quest Community. Q-U-E-S-T space C-O-M-M-U-N-I-T-Y. And that should show you our app. We're in Lexington, Kentucky. So that will give you some ideas. We can live stream on that app. We have access to giving online on that app. We have other information. And occasionally we put in forums so that people that are interacting with the church service can give some feedback or fill in some information and some other things like that. So that might give you some ideas that you hadn't considered before. Look at Willow Creek's app. Look at some of the apps on the Google Play Store. Just look at different ideas and see if maybe you just had a limited idea of what you could do. And then try and decide. But if you don't have a mobile website whatsoever, if it's neither mobile nor responsive, do that first. Now, you might want to do that as part of a redesign. In order to take a regular website and make it responsive, that's going to require a redesign. Excuse me. Much better than last week, though. Woo! Glad I had an opportunity for a freelance thing this weekend, and I'm glad I didn't do it, even though I needed the money. Glad I'm not tired right now. So that's probably what I would recommend, is I would recommend that you look at the possibilities of what would happen if you went for these, whether it's a web app or whether it is a, whether it's a web responsive website or whether it is a smartphone app, look at those as possibilities and decide which is appropriate for you. I don't think that if you have a responsive website that you should just automatically say, well, I don't need an app. I think there are certainly some positives to it, some positives in visibility, some positives in who you'll reach, and some positives in what you can do. But I really think these are just more tools that we can use as we're going out to change eternity. Until next time, this is Paul Allen Clifford with TrinityDigitalMedia.com.